Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
The Digital Story Audio Show, October 5th, 2005. With your host, Derek Story. New tools for the creative mind. We're going to talk about everything here that relates to photography, audio, video, you name it, we're going to be covering it. Today, though, I want to jump right into some photography techniques that I think everyone can use to improve their pictures. I want to talk about the flash modes dial, or the flash modes button on your digital camera. The thing about flash modes are that most people leave it on auto and never do anything beyond that. This is a big waste. This is with even the smallest compact camera. Mastering the flash modes is your key to taking better pictures in a lot of lighting situations. I want to start right away with explaining what auto flash mode is. Now, it's very interesting the way digital cameras do auto flash mode. It's and on one level, I think it's very obvious and very logical, and on another level, it kind of goes against some of the great things in photography. Here's the way that your camera thinks. When there's enough light to make an exposure, to make a good exposure, let's say outdoors on a bright sunny day, the camera looks at the scene, it reads it with its meter and says, ah, there's plenty of light, we don't need the flash, flash stays off. Now again, I'm talking about when we're in auto flash mode. However, when the light becomes dim, let's say if you go inside, let's say if it's a nighttime party, any sort of situation like that, the camera again reads the scene and goes, oh, not very much light, need the flash on. This is very logical on one level. Here's the problem, though. A lot of times, a flash is your best tool for fixing a bad lighting situation. And I'm going to give you an example right now. Outdoor portraits. We all like to take pictures of our friends and our family outdoors on a bright sunny day, or when we're out at the beach, when we're on vacation, traveling, whatever. Now, one of the things about lighting that's very interesting is that lighting from the side enhances texture. You have to remember this. Lighting from the side enhances texture. Now, this is great when you're shooting an old building, right? Because lighting coming from the side, you get to see the texture in the brick, you get to see the wood, everything, really beautiful stuff. Now, if you're shooting your girlfriend or your mom, lighting from the side is not the way to go because it does the same thing to her skin. It shows all the pores, all the flaws, everything becomes enhanced. Not to mention that the nose gets bigger because you're adding more dimension to it, right? Because you have a bright side and a dark side, because, again, the light's coming from an angle. And often, if the eyes are deep set at all, then you will lose the eyes. They'll become kind of dark sort of sockets, depending on how far back they're set. These are not things that are very good for portraits. What do we like for portraits? We like smooth skin tones, we like to flatten the nose, and we like to have a little twinkle in the eyes. Most of the time, when you're shooting outdoors, especially casually, that's very difficult to do with just natural light. Here's the key. Here's why auto flash doesn't always work right, okay? Because if you're outdoors on a bright sunny day, taking a picture of your mom, the flash is going to say, the camera's going to say to the flash, there's plenty of light, lots of light here. We don't need the flash. Flash stays off. Now, that's a picture that you will get if you never get beyond the default auto flash mode on your camera. Now, here's what wedding photographers and portrait photographers, and which I'm included in this category, this is what we often do, and especially at weddings. And I have to tell you, weddings are very important training tool for photographers, because one thing about the wedding is you have to come away with good shots. No matter what happens, no matter what nature, the mother-in-law, the caterer throws at you, you have to come away with good shots. And this is why you so often see wedding photographers walking around with a flash on all the time, because they know that no matter what happens, if they have their camera set up right and if they have the flash going off, that they are going to get good shots. Outdoors, taking that portrait again, let's say this time now you put your camera in a different flash mode. This time, put it in flash on, okay? What we call in the photography business, we call flash on. We call it fill flash, but camera manufacturers usually call it flash on. Now, the easy way to get to that on almost every digital camera is that you look for the little flash control button. It's usually a lightning bolt with an arrowhead on it. And the good cameras, the cameras that I like anyway, have it on the outside of the camera. It's a button with a lightning bolt, and you go, ah, there it is. You press it once, you know, and it changes the mode. You press it again, it changes the mode, and you can just cycle right through it. Now, the cameras that I'm not so crazy about tend to bury this control in the menu system, and that just drives me nuts because, you know, it's a barrier to using it. If it's deep in the menu system, you're not going to use it. You're not going to use it, or at least not as often. I mean, you have to really want to do it. Okay, if it's a button on the outside, you're going to go, ah, what the heck? Let's go to flash on. So find that button, press it, flash on. A lot of times will be the second or third one. You know, they usually make you go through red eye reduction mode first, which might as well just bypass that one and never use it, other than one instance that I'll tell you later. But go to flash on. Okay, now here's what will happen. Every time you take a picture, the flash will fire. It seems very simple, but a lot's going on behind the scene there. Because what's happening is that the camera is reading the overall exposure of the scene, okay, and it's making a great exposure for the background and all the dominant lighting. At the same time, it's firing the flash, right, and reading the flash bouncing off the subject. Now, your model or your mom or whomever it happens to be has to be within flash range, okay? And we're talking about probably 8 feet or less for most cameras. So make sure you're standing close enough, okay? Get within about 8 feet, turn on the flash, and then what happens is the flash will make a beautiful exposure of the subject with the light coming from the front. That means twinkle in the eyes. That means the nose is no longer so dominant. And the skin tones get smoothed out. And the backdrop will look great too. Okay, here's a few variations on that. Okay, you're just getting warmed up. You've taken a few shots. You go, wow, this looks so much better than what I normally do. Now try taking the model, the subject, and putting her under the shade of a tree. Okay, still paying attention that you have a nice backdrop, but put her under the shade of the tree. This has a lot of good benefits. One of them is the model becomes more comfortable. She won't be squinting quite so much because of the bright sun in her eyes. She'll be cooler, not quite so hot. You know, all sorts of nice things happen. And then the flash can really kind of take over and control the exposure on the model. Meanwhile, the camera will still continue to expose for the backdrop too. So put the model, the subject, under the shade of a tree, and then try this flash on. Now, the last variation of this technique, and this is really high end. I mean, this is really where you'll look great. Is position the subject so that the sun is shining on the back of the head. It can be kind of high or whatever, but you want to look for the sun kind of creating what we call rim lighting on the hair, illuminating the hair from behind or from the side. This looks really cool. Now, the thing is, you have to remember to use the fill flash too. So now you got all sorts of stuff going on. The camera's exposing for the background. The sun's illuminating the hair, creating this nice hair highlight for you. And the flash is coming from the front, exposing the face and producing very nice skin tones and twinkle in the eyes and so forth. Beautiful, beautiful portraits. Now, you can do this with a compact camera. You don't need a digital SLR. You don't need a $5,000 camera to do this. You can do this with a $200 camera if you remember these few simple things that I've outlined here. So again, the number one mode that you want to try for outdoor portraits is take it off auto mode and put it on flash on, flash on mode. All right. Now I'm going to tell you another flash mode right now that I think is pretty cool also. These sound very simple, but it's amazing that most people don't know how to use them. The next mode is flash off. That's right, flash off. Now, here's a situation where I think flash off works very well. We're no longer outdoors. Now let's move indoors. And there's a beautiful picture window. Gorgeous picture window. Light kind of coming in, very soft, diffused light. And you want to take a picture of your son, let's say, by this window. Okay. And, you know, you get this nice, you know, graduated tones on the face, very subtle lighting, very nice mood shot. You go, wow, that looks really great to the eye. It looks really fabulous. If you never take your camera out of auto mode, here's what's going to happen. Your eye sees this beautiful, softly lit scene of your son. You press the shutter button, and the camera's going to fire the flash. Why? Going back to what I was saying earlier, it's going, not a whole lot of light in here. I think we need the flash. That's the last thing you want right now. It totally ruins the shot, totally flattens it out, and you're going to lose all the mood and all the subtleties of the lighting. So this is a case where now you cycle to flash off. Turn off the flash. If the light is too low, you might have a little bit of a slow, what we call long shutter speed problem, which means, you know, the camera's aperture stays open for a relatively long time in photography terms, and you might get a little bit of camera shake. So if you are getting the camera shake signal, and most cameras will give you that when the light's too low, also go to your menu and raise the ISO, which is sort of the digital equivalent of film speed. Raise it to 200 or 400. And that will make the sensor a little bit more sensitive to light, and it should get rid of your camera shake if you have a nicely illuminated subject by a window. The other thing is to keep in mind that the temperature of the light actually changes when you're in the shade or when you're in interior. It actually becomes kind of more bluish, kind of cool, as we say. And cool color temperature isn't really good for most people. It makes them kind of look, you know, a little dead-like. So you want to stay away from that. But you can fix that really quickly. Go back to your menu. Now go to white balance and choose cloudy. Okay, take it off auto white balance and choose the little cloud icon. Okay, and what that's going to do is warm up your tones a little bit and bring a little bit of life back into your subject. So you've had to do three little things here, but the results are going to be well worth it. Now when you take the picture, hold the camera very steady. Okay, have your model hold steady. Take the picture. No flash will fire, so you'll get that nice illumination from the window. The tones, the skin tones will be good because you're using the cloudy setting. And the picture won't be too soft from camera shake because you've raised the ISO to 200 or 400. Okay, this is one of the best uses for flash off are these types of what we call existing light portraits. Okay, so we got flash on for outdoors. On a sunny day when you want to take a portrait, flash off for indoors when you're by a window or some other light source. You see how this is sometimes a little counterintuitive than what you would normally think. So there's another mode I want to tell you about before I kind of diss auto red eye reduction, which I think is just a bunch of malarkey. There's another mode a lot of times called nighttime flash or slow synchro flash. And this is a very interesting flash mode.
What I like about, let's call it nighttime flash mode here, it's easier to say, is that what the camera does, I use this a lot at parties and wedding receptions and stuff when people are, you know, out on the dance floor or you know, doing something at the party, and the light's kind of low, but there are a lot of neat elements. There might be candles in the background. There might be those little twinkle lights. You know, there's stuff that you want to bring into the picture in the background to give it a little bit more depth, but you don't quite know how to get it. Now, again, if you're in auto flash mode, what the camera does is it actually sets the shutter speed at 1/60th of a second on most cameras, which is too fast to capture these ambient lights that you want, the twinkle lights, the candles, and so forth. So what happens is you get the standard flash shot of a brightly illuminated person that's within flash range there. Boom, you know, big burst of light, and then a black background. And sure, in a pinch, it's great because you know you're going to get a shot. But if you really want more to your shot, if you want more texture, if you want more information, and if you definitely want more mood, you want some of this other information that's outside of the flash range. The twinkle lights and the candles, they're beyond that 8 feet. Okay, so your flash can't do anything with them. Your flash is going 8 feet or so, and then it's petering out. It's just falling right off the table there. Okay, here's how you get it. You go to nighttime flash mode, and what your camera does, once again, it reads the scene and says, there's some subtle lighting there. I've got to make the shutter speed a lot longer than 1/60th of a second. So it'll go to 1/30th of a second, 1/15th of a second, 1/8th of a second, 1/4th of a second. I mean, this is a long time in photography speak, you know, these shutter speeds I'm talking about. And then it'll fire the flash. Okay, this is kind of cool because what it's doing is it's recording the overall texture of the scene at these real long shutter speeds, but the flash fires and it freezes the subject or anything within 8 feet and renders that kind of crisp. So you might get this sort of this fuzzy sort of light kind of artistic thing in the background with a well-illuminated subject that's usually not too blurry. Now, if the subject's moving fast, you will get a little bit of a blurring effect because the camera will record the subject's movement, and then when the flash goes off, it'll sort of freeze it at that point. But you might get that little blurring leading up to it. Actually, personally, I think that's sort of interesting. I like that effect as long as it's not too overdone. But here's the thing about nighttime flash. You are going to have loss, okay? If you take 20 pictures, chances are very good that 10 or 12 or even 14 of them might have too much movement, might be just, you know, a little too over the top. But the thing is, the other six, you know, that you get are really going to be fabulous. And I think it's worth it. Especially after maybe do a few safe shots, right? Leave it in auto flash mode, get a few safe shots so that you can, you know, make sure that you have a picture. But then after you feel confident that you've got the shots that you need, then, you know, roll the dice a little bit, take a few risks and go to nighttime flash mode and do something that's very daring. I guarantee you, your pictures are going to look so different from everyone else's. They'll say, wow, you know, what kind of camera do you have? I love this. This is what people always say when they see a really great shot. They'll go, you know, they'll look you right in the eye and they'll go, what kind of camera do you have? Like, it's the camera that produced a great shot. It had nothing to do with the person operating the camera. Like, what am I, you know, just like, you know, chopped liver here or something. It's not the camera, guys and girls. It's the photographer. All these cameras are great. They're all capable of doing wonderful stuff, but it's just a data input device that has a little bit of artificial intelligence that's programmed into it, but basically you still have to make it do its magic, which you can by learning some of these simple things. So that way, when someone sees a great shot and they go, wow, what kind of camera do you have? And you just, you can say, you know, look them right back in the eye and say, oh, it's just like yours, you know? And that way it kind of says, so like, what's your problem, right? All right. Speaking of sort of getting down on things here, I want to talk about auto red eye reduction mode, or whatever the heck they call it these days, red eye reduction or elimination, or man, you know, here's the deal with compact cameras especially. You see, the problem is that the flash on these cameras, because the cameras are small themselves, is too close to the lens. They have no other place to put it, right? It's got, you know, you only have so much real estate there, so it's got to go somewhere, and it's usually close to the lens. So what happens is, when the lights are down low, which is often when we're taking flash shots, the flash goes off, and it fires this beam of light, and if the person's looking directly into the camera, chances are their pupils are dilated, right? So that flash is light's going right into those dilated pupils, and it's actually bouncing off the blood-filled retina in the back there, right, and reflecting right back into the lens. Just like when you shoot a pool shot, you know, and the cue ball goes, you know, straight, hits the cushion, you know, the bumper, and then comes right back at you. That's what's happening with the flash. And that's where you're picking up that red reflection. Okay. Now, the way to get around it, if you have a more sophisticated camera, is that you move the flash farther away from the lens, and you change the angle of reflection, and it doesn't show up, okay? And that's why wedding photographers often have their flash up on a bracket. There, you know, one of two reasons why they do that. One is because it ensures that you'll never have red eye, which is very embarrassing for a professional photographer. And the second is it moves the shadows. If a person's standing close to a wall or something, it moves those shadows down away from the person. All right, so that's why wedding photographers often use these flash brackets. Okay, you can, if you got a compact camera and you're at a friend's party, you don't get to do any of that, right? So, you know, so what camera manufacturers, they know that, and they got to have some answers. So what they do is they create, you know, this auto red eye reduction. And a lot of times the way that it works is that, you know, you press the shutter, and then this beam of light, you know, goes piercing into the subject's eyes, or even better yet, a series of flashes, you know, boom, 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 of light flashing into their eyes. You know, the thinking being that by pelting their eyes with this bright light, their pupils will constrict, thereby reducing the chances of red eye. So, you know, what you get, instead of a person smiling and relaxed and everything, when the flash goes off, they've been pelted by all these, you know, pulses of light, and they kind of got this weird kind of scrunched up look on their face, right? And then the flash goes off. And then they usually have red eye anyway because the darn thing doesn't work, okay? So just forget about red eye reduction. Don't use it, especially to eliminate red eye, because it doesn't work. Instead, do things such as turn up the room lights a little bit if you can, if you have control over that. Ask the person, if there is a bright light somewhere in the room, ask the person to look at it just for a second or two, and then look back at you and take the shot. Take the shot when the person isn't looking directly into the camera. That helps too. Okay. And then if, you know, if all else fails and you still get some red eye, then just take it out later in Photoshop or iPhoto, whatever you happen to be using, and take it out then. Almost all these applications have red eye removal. In fact, the brand new Photoshop Elements that just came out, Adobe Photoshop Elements 4, actually removes the red eye as you're uploading the photos, which is kind of trippy. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. I just read about it today. So, now, there is one instance, and this is the tip I'm going to finish with today. There is one instance where red eye reduction works kind of cool, and it's for people who blink when the flash goes off. Yeah. And, you know, we all know, almost every family has one. They have this incredible sixth sense, right? That right before the flash goes off, or right as the flash is going off, they close their eyes. And so every flash shot you have of them is with their eyes closed. Okay, I'm not exactly sure
how they're able to do this, but we all have photograph people who have this ability. This is the one time where I've used red eye reduction, because now that pre-beam of light or those flashes actually cause the person to blink on the fake flashes, right? And then when the actual exposure happens, the odds of their eyes being open are greater. And I've actually increased my number of eyes open for blinker kinds of shots with using auto red eye reduction. So there is one, notable use for this thing. It has nothing to do with reducing red eye, but for blinkers, sometimes it might help you out. So there's something to keep in mind there. Okay, so those are our flash tips for today. I'm going to be talking more about flash and all sorts of other stuff in audio shows coming up. But today I just wanted to really hit the ground running with these real basic things that you can use to improve your shots right now. I'm Derek Story. This is The Digital Story. You can check out the show notes for examples of what I've talked about today. And I hope to see you again real soon. Take care now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.